Okay, if you could find your seats. Thank you, Dave. If you could find your seats, we'll get into the message for today. The Gospel of Luke. Our elder Barry read from the Gospel of Matthew. Kind of a parallel, similar passage here out of the Synoptic Gospels, but we'll be looking at the Gospel of Luke, and I'm actually going to, just for context, start in verse 43. But let's just have one more word of prayer before we get into the message for today. Father, we thank you once again as we gather collectively here. And because of technology, Lord, there's others that are gathering with us online. Perhaps they couldn't be here because of physical ailments or illness. Lord, we just pray that together we would be one, that you would be high and lifted up as we take this time to remember the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, open up the eyes, the ears and the hearts of those who are in this auditorium today. We ask this in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. And all of God's family said, amen. Amen. Thank you. As mentioned, I'll start in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, but with verse 43. And I think it would be helpful to do that because that's the beginning of this dialogue between Elizabeth, who was the mother of John the Baptist, and Mary, of course, the Blessed Virgin, who is the earthly mother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Before I read, I just want to make a few statements as we gather this Christmas Sunday morning service of sorts, at least. We remember and are reminded of the beauty and birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Of course, with the birth of Jesus comes manger scenes and Christmas carols like Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and Silent Night, and many more, and all serve as reminders. With Jesus' birth, we also are reminded of the Virgin Mary, as mentioned, the birth mother of Jesus. She was a blessed and highly favored woman. In Protestant evangelical circles, we have a tendency to downplay or even disregard the fact that Mary was chosen by God. Chosen by God to carry the Messiah, the chosen one of God, the Son of God, as we just sang about in her womb. Mary is to be honored. As we'll see in Luke chapter 1, verse 43, where Elizabeth said, "Blessed art thou amongst women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Mary's Magnificat, which means to magnify, is a hymn, a song, a poem that reveals her heart, her spirit. Mary was chosen to carry Jesus Christ. Humble, thankful, full of joy and gratitude, Mary is a great example for all women who follow Jesus today. And with that being said, let's start with verse 43, where Elizabeth says, "And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Once again, this is Elizabeth carrying John the Baptist in her womb. And her birth also was miraculous. Although it did require the seed of a man, the seed of Zacharias the priest, nevertheless, in a very elderly age, this was a miraculous birth. And in verse 44, it says, "For lo, as soon as the voice of your salutation or greeting sounded in my ears, the babe," that is indeed John the Baptist, "leaped in my womb for joy." What does this tell us just briefly? Life matters to God. All lives matter to God. We were at our Christmas party through Rescue and Revive Ministries at the Lakeview Apartments last night. It was a beautiful time. In fact, some people from SBC were there, including Rondi. That was nice to see there, and Jeannie, and so on and so forth. And I echoed the same thing. It was a different passage, but all lives matter to God. It's not just black lives. It's not just white lives. Lives matter to God. Why? Because every life is made in the image of God. We are image bearers of the Godhead, of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost. Body, mind, spirit. We are image bearers of this Godhead. And this babe, John the Baptist, Leaping in the womb is evidence that that's where life starts. Don't let anybody tell you different. Please don't believe the lies of the culture. Please don't believe the lies of Satan, because he is indeed called the father of lies by Jesus himself. Life begins in the womb, and this is the evidence of that. And life matters to God, all lives. It says in verse 45, and blessed or happy, divinely favored is she that believes. That would be Mary. For there shall be a performance or fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. The most significant birth in the history of mankind was performed or fulfilled differently than expected by the natural man. I mean, think about this, and you know the historical account. I'm not going to go back a little bit earlier in chapter 1, but you're familiar. Shepherds. Who were shepherds? Lowly, unexpected to be told of the birth of the king. Not the ones you and I would pick. It would be like you and I going down to the ghetto and announcing to a homeless person or maybe an overnight security guard, hey, the one that you've been waiting for, the hope for Israel, the hope for mankind is going to be born in Bethlehem. We wouldn't do that if we're honest in our natural man. Shepherds, the birth was announced to. An angel Gabriel revealing it to them. No room at the inn. With animals, wise men visiting, with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. This is very different than how we would have scripted it. And this serves as a reminder that God's thoughts and ways are different than ours. It says in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God thinks differently than the natural man. He does things differently. And this was prophesied, as Barry already read about, 700 plus years before by the prophet Isaiah. He foretold of this and said the people of Israel, who were in captivity at the time to a wicked empire, the people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. And that's what we celebrate and remember. The light of the world, Jesus Christ, has come. And now, in verse 46, we switch to this song, hymn, poem of Mary. And I want you to listen very closely to what she says. It says, and Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord. What is the soul? It's the vital force which animates the body and shows itself in breathing. Mary, the birth mother of Jesus, does magnify or exalt the Lord. Kurios. That is the owner, Lord. Kurios in the Greek. The owner, one who has control of the person, the master. Mary is carrying her babe in her womb, but yet at the same time inspired by God the Holy Spirit, who came upon her to impregnate her with no seed of man, supernaturally is acknowledging that not as only is she carrying her babe, but she's carrying her master. That's why she was blessed. That's why she was highly favored. Because she was chosen by God to carry her Lord. The question today for some of us is, who is your Lord? That's the question for some of us today. At Christmas time, it says, in my spirit, verse 47, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. What is the spirit? The rational spirit is the power by which the human beings, it's our feelings, our thoughts. She says, has rejoiced my spirit. She was overjoyed. Why? Because she knows that God had provided a Savior. She was carrying the Savior. She was carrying her Lord. See, he's got to be Lord and he's got to be Savior. He has to be both. He can't just be Savior. If he's truly your Savior, he will be your master. Jesus said, why do you say unto me, Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things that I say? It's a question for us to ponder at Christmas time when we think about what Mary is saying here. Verse 48, for he, that's God Almighty, has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden or bondservant. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Behold, Mary says, the handmaiden of the Lord, let it be according to your word. It says in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, earlier, when she was told by the angel she was going to carry the seed of God, she said, let it be according to thy word. A handmaid, a submissive servant of the Lord. Notice not one social media post about Mary. What would happen today if it was Mary? Everybody would be up, oh, I'm carrying the Savior, look at me. Boom, boom, Instagram, Snapchat, let's put it all over. Notice she was not a social media influencer. See, it does not matter who was following Mary, but rather who Mary is following. A silent servant, no desire to be great. Why? Because she was carrying the Most High. She was carrying her Lord. She was carrying her Savior. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son will be given. For what? The sins of the world. For the sins of the world. The lowest state, the humble position, all generations shall call her blessed, happy. Be Catholic, just hold on for a moment. Don't get up and leave when I say this. I love you if you're Catholic. You're looking at one. I have the proof. Here's my first Holy Communion. Okay? How do you answer Catholics? People who came, I'm a different, how do you answer a Roman Catholic? Because I know Tom is doing word studies right now, and I think that's very important because words do matter. How do you answer a Roman Catholic? Because we're going to be getting together with family, and not everybody is a Protestant or evangelical or what we call born again or born from above Christian, which simply comes from the words of Jesus in the Gospel of John, the third chapter. How do you answer Catholics this Christmas when Mary comes up? What does the Word of God say? She's blessed. His mercy is upon them that fear Him from generation to generation. That's what Mary was singing about. That's how. Put her in her rightful place. She is to be honored. She was chosen by God, but she is not to be worshipped. She said herself, I'm a lowly handmaiden of the Lord, that He would visit me. And you see, that's the fruit of a servant of God. That's somebody who knows Jesus, not just as Savior, but as Lord. A humble estate. Shepherds. Get the picture here. I pray God reveals it unto you. Why did she say this? Because it says in Colossians chapter 1, Colossians, and He, that's Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. Who is that? Jesus the Christ. Who is that? The babe in the womb of Mary. A virgin birth. Not the seed of Joseph, the stepfather. The Most High will overshadow you. The Holy Ghost will come upon you. This was the work of God. Now I'm going to tell you something very interesting today that you're going to be shocked by. Don't run out of the church. Please, give me a second. I'm Catholic. Do you know why? Catholic means universal. Catholic means universal. Jesus Christ has one church. I challenge you today to look in the Gospels, to look in Matthew, Luke, John, Mark, look in the book of Acts. There is no talk of the Protestant church. There is no talk of the Baptist. There is no talk of the Methodist. There is no talk of the Lutheran. There is no talk of the Free Methodist. There is talk of the supremacy of the head of the church, Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Now there's the local church. There's the church at Colossae. There was the church in Rome. There was the church at Ephesus. There was the church at Spencerport Bible Church. But you could be part of a local church and not be Catholic or part of the universal church. Now, by the way, don't think I'm going to be going around calling myself a Catholic, because that will confuse people. But what it really means is this: Christ has one church, and it wasn't started by a pope. You say, well, how can you possibly say that? Well, let me just give you some facts. There's been 267 popes. There's one Savior. Amen. There's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. That's what the Word of God says. That's what Ephesians says. You have to make a decision. Do you believe the Word of God or do you believe a man? That's the challenge. And maybe for some of you today, you know the truth, but the truth does not set you free because you will not surrender to the supremacy of Christ. You will not surrender to the lordship of Christ. And you think your life has to change. It doesn't have to change. It will change when Christ indwells you. For the better. For the better. Christ, the hope of glory. Christ, the hope for all mankind. And Mary is a blessed woman. You know what happens? I'll go back here.
It's a cute guy in this picture. Cute kid, all white. My sister.
My godmother. This moved on, passed on. You know, I believed in God back then. 10 years old, I believed in God, I did. But to believe God and to know God is different. See, He could be your Savior, but He's not your Lord. He could be your Savior, not your Lord, and say, so well, how did you come to know the difference? The Catholic Church helped me. You know why? The Word of God is there. It's there, but it's just, I got to use this illustration I got this morning. It was beautiful. And it might seem foolish to you, but it spoke to me. You got the steak and you got the potatoes. Well, what matters to you, the steak or the potatoes? I've never went to a restaurant and just said, give me a plate full of potatoes. But if you gave me just a steak, I'll probably eat all of it. Jesus Christ, He says, my meat is to do the will of the Father. He said, I have meat that you know not of. Did He speak to His disciples? See, the disciples didn't know Him yet, truly, as Lord. They didn't have the Holy Spirit until the body was broken and the blood was shed. Unless you eat of my body, drink of my flesh, you have part in me. Cannibalism? No, He says, the word I speak unto you are spirit, and they are life. As often as you do this, don't do it again. Do this in remembrance of what I did. It is finished at the cross. That's the gospel. That's the good news message. Mary knew this. How did Mary knew it? The Holy Ghost revealed it unto her. How did Simeon know? How did he know that the Christ child was before him that had been promised by God? He would not pass from the earth until he saw the light of the world, the Messiah. The Holy Spirit revealed it unto him. It's a work of God. Salvation is a miracle. It's a work of God. But we are given volition, choice. Some may say free will, either works. Very similar words, synonymous. Listen, you have to make a choice. Choose this day, choose this Christmas who you will serve. We'll say, well, what happened? Well, my mother was saved. You say, well, what are these terms, saved? Saved from what? Saved from sin, saved from herself, saved from the wrath of God. Well, who was it that really played an influential role in her life? A former Catholic. And she received Christ, and she was born again. And we started going to a small little church. Then the Holy Spirit revealed unto me that Jesus Christ is not just God, Lord, He's also Savior. And I repented of my sin, and I cried out unto the Lord, and I confessed I cannot do it on my own. And at that moment, I received Christ. The same is true for all mankind. The salvation has appeared to all men. And we're reminded of that this Christmas season, that salvation is available. All generations shall call me blessed. Verse 49, for He that is mighty, that is God, has done to me great things, and holy is His name. You know His name is holy. The Mighty One will do great things for you. You know, King David said in Psalm 23, my cup runneth over. I can relate to that. It gets me emotional to think I get to prepare a weekly sermon to deliver to a group of people God loves so much. No reason. Just favored, blessed. Remain in the love of God and He will do great things. Why? Because holy is His name. Set apart is the name of the Most High. I love that name. He has about 200 names in the Bible for God. Holy is His name. I love that. He's set apart. There is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby you must be saved. It's the name of Jesus, not Mary. I got news for you. It's not Pope Leo. It's not Pope John. It's not Billy Graham. He's dead. It's not any man. It's not any woman. It's the God-man. It's Christ Almighty. Fully God, fully man. That's why He had to be born from the womb of a woman. That's why He had to shed human blood. Because you and I could not, we are not capable of paying for our sin, for us missing the mark. In word and deed, in thought, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so God says, I will give you a way. I will give you a way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, Jesus said. There's only one way.
Verse 50, and His mercy is on them that fear Him or are in awe of Him from generation to generation.
Are you in awe of Christ? Are you in awe of the work of God? I am. I think you saw, if you were here during the announcements, a man of God who was in awe of the work of God, who just drove 4,000 miles across 7 borders to get to a place in which he will tell others about this Christ. He's in awe. I pray you are in awe of this Christ. And if you know Him, you will be. You will be. He won't just be your Savior. He'll be the Master, the Lord of your life.
He has showed strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts.
You see, pride will never allow you entrance into the kingdom of heaven. A humble handmaiden. She says, who am I that I would be chosen? That's the attitude of a child of God. Pride will keep you out of the kingdom of heaven. God hates pride, says God opposes it. But He gives grace to the humble, to the shepherd, to the Marys, to the John the Baptist. Says, I'm not worthy to even lace your sandals in modern day vernacular. Yes, this is our God, a servant king who washed His disciples' feet. And you know, it's interesting because Mary here quotes from the Psalms, which tells us something here. The reason she fears Him or is in awe of God, that's from Psalm 103, verse 17. She knew the Word of God. She was a Jewish girl, probably 14, 15, 16 years old. And Luke's Gospel portrays Mary's Jewish identity from the beginning by highlighting her strict adherence to Torah's laws. In Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 24, after the birth of Jesus, Mary and Joseph observed the Torah's requirements with meticulous care. They ensured Jesus' circumcision on the eighth day, a fundamental right rooted in Genesis chapter 17, verse 12, that signifies inclusion in God's covenant with Israel. Furthermore, they fulfilled the purification rituals mandated in Leviticus chapter 2, verses 2 through 8, presenting Jesus at the Jerusalem temple and offer a sacrifice of 2 turtle doves or doves, a provision for those of modest means as outlined in the Torah. This act of redemption for their firstborn son required by Exodus chapter 13, verse 2, underscores their commitment to Jewish law. She knew the Word of God. She was a woman of God. You want to be used by God? Know the Word of God. Know it. The men and women God chooses to use mightily know His Word. David knew the Word of God. Saul of Tarsus knew the word of God, even though he was misusing it, not understanding the covenant. Simeon in the temple, who was promised to see the Messiah, knew the word of God. Anna, who did not depart from the temple, 84 years old, served the Lord with prayer and fastings. She knew the word of God. Know the word of God. No, the word of God personally has changed my life. You say, well, I thought you said Jesus. Yes, Jesus calls himself the word of God. Jesus has changed my life. And once I knew that Jesus Christ was indeed Lord and Savior, and I started to open up his book, things really started to change for me. Things really started to change for me. No longer my plan. If it was my plan right now, I'd be close to retirement. Nice public school salary. Who knows? Maybe I would have coached a sectional championship team. I don't know. That was my plan. God's thoughts and ways are different. His plan for your life, your life is hidden in Christ. God's will is that you would follow him wholeheartedly. No matter what your age is, no matter what your trials are, no matter what your lot in life is, that you follow him. He will reveal his will, his perfect will for your life specifically. And it'll probably not be what you've drawn up, because his thoughts and his ways are different. Mary recognizes this. Why? 14 years old, 50. I'm just a servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. That's a servant. That's a Christ follower. That's one who knows the Most High, Holy God. Verse 52, he has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. What is keeping you from this Christ child? What is keeping you from Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Is it pride? Is it exalting yourself? Is it riches? What is it? What's keeping you? You have a master in this life. Everyone was made to worship something. You have a master. And the master of your life, listen, it very well could be you. You care a lot about you. And we all do, to some degree. But you must die to self. Unless a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. You must surrender, give up your way. Don't be on the my way highway. It leads to destruction. Jesus said, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Few there be there find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many are going that way. The deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of power. How old were the popes? 60, 70, 80 years old? Jesus is the eternal God. A high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom there is no descent. Why? Because he's the Alpha and the Omega. He was there in the beginning and he'll be there always. That's why. Verse 54, he has helped his servant, Israel, in remembrance of his mercy. Culture point number two. Do not, according to God's word, be against the people or nation of Israel, because you'll be making a mistake. Do not believe the lies of the enemy. It's right here, the word of God. The Jew and the Gentile need the gospel like all of us in this auditorium today. You must believe upon the Lord to be saved. I'm not saying they don't need the same Messiah. They do. But what I'm saying is God made a promise to Abraham, promises to Abraham in land, in inheritance, and he will not break his promise. Don't believe the lies. It's another spirit. It's a seducing spirit to draw you away from the truth of God. As he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, which means father of nations, he said, I will multiply your seed like the stars in the sky, like the sand in the sea. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. Look it up, Genesis 17, 18, 22. It's all there from the beginning. and to his seed, Abraham's seed, forever. He doesn't all of a sudden say, you know what, 2025, Palestinians. Nope, ain't happening. That's a lie. Israel, governed by God. Mary, chosen vessel of God to be honored. Word of God says, give honor where honor is due. Mary is a great example of a woman of God, of a mother. She just wanted God's will. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up as I prepare to close. You know, perhaps this message this morning was new to you. Is he really the hope for all mankind? Yes. There is no other name. There is no other Savior. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. 700 years prior, we've referenced it. The birth of our Lord and Savior was foretold by the prophet Isaiah. Don't let Christmas pass without bowing the knee of your heart to Him, confessing your sin to Him, expressing your need for Him. The Word of God says, call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Why? The church was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. No man, no woman, only the God-man, only the Messiah. The Christ is worthy of all glory, all power, all honor to Christ alone. The best gift you could ever possibly receive. It's not a tie. That's nice. Gift cards. You know, we'll be giving gifts and everybody loves it. That's nice. But the greatest gift you could ever receive that has been offered freely, freely, is the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He paid the price. He was the purchaser. And you have an opportunity this Christmas to receive that miraculous gift. And indeed, when somebody comes to know this Christ in the way in which Mary did, in the way in which Saul of Tarsus did, in the way in which I did, truly it's a miracle. Truly it's a miracle. So I want to encourage you today, in this morning, in this Christmas season, before I step off the platform here, seek the Lord while He may be found. We're not at war with Catholics, Roman Catholics. I'm not. You know what I realized as I told you earlier? That seed of the Word of God, those potatoes, they brought me to the stake. I'm not at war with Catholics. I'm at war with sin. I'm at war with myself. I'm at war with Satan. I'm at war with the flesh. Not those made in His image. I actually desire to reconcile, bring them back to God through the gift of Christ. That's my desire. If you are Roman Catholic here this morning, I say this to you. God bless you. I love you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. But I desire that you know Him, not just as Savior, but as Lord. Mary did not purchase the church. No prophet, no pastor. Only Christ is worthy. I'm going to say it. L'unica via. L'unica via, one way, okay, in Italian. There's only one way. It's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, I thank You, Lord, for the opportunity. Thank You for the opportunity to worship and adore You this Christmas season. Lord, we know that there's only one way to get to the kingdom of heaven. There's only one way to get to the Father. It's through the Son. And I would ask this morning if there's any here today that have not yet surrendered and submitted to that straight and narrow path, that they would today in their heart, Lord, they'd cry out to You, that they, right now, if something's just, they know something's different, if they're being convicted of sin and righteousness and judgment right now, that they would yield to it and give them new life. You have so much waiting for them. So much. And for those of us who know You as Lord and Savior, King of our life, that we would walk worthy of that calling this Christmas, and that we would not be at war with our relatives or our friends, but that we would be ambassadors of reconciliation, bringing them back to God through the suffering of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.